Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 259 to close at 26,049. S&P 500 Index up 22 at 2,896. NASDAQ Composite up 71 at 8,017. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps up 2 at 1728. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 2 basis points at 2.85%. Oil up 22 cents at $68.94 per barrel. Gold up $5.50 at $12.1180 per ounce. John McCain will be buried at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, Sunday, September 2nd, following a week of memorial services commemorating his life. On Wednesday, a service open to the public will be held at Arizona's state capitol. Service expected to be streamed online. McCain will lie for a private service at 10 a.m. local time. Public will be allowed to view him at 2 p.m. local time. A memorial service will take place Thursday at North Phoenix Baptist Church. The senator's official government site stated it was unable to accept any more ticket requests. The event is expected to be live streamed. McCain will then lie in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda in Washington, D.C. on Friday, with a ceremony starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. After the ceremony, the public can view McCain from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. McCain previously requested that Presidents Barack Obama and George W. Bush give eulogies at his service at the National Cathedral. Obama's Vice President Joe Biden will deliver remarks at a separate service in Arizona honoring McCain. Trump was not invited to the funeral and is not expected to attend. On Saturday, a private memorial will take place at Washington National Cathedral at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. The event will be held for McCain's friends, colleagues, and family, and will not have a live stream, according to the late senator's site. Following a private funeral service, McCain will be buried Sunday afternoon at the U.S. Naval Academy Cemetery in Annapolis, beside former classmate and friend Chuck Larson. McCain's death in office marks the first time in Arizona's more than 100-year history that a governor would have to fill a Senate seat by appointment. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey expects to pick a successor to the late Senator McCain sometime next week. Ducey's choice would serve at least through 2020. The state would then hold a special election that year to fill the remainder of McCain's term through 2022. Another election for McCain's seat would take place in 2022 because the senator won re-election for a six-year term in 2016. Until a presumably Republican replacement is named, only 50 Republican senators are available to vote, while the Democrats and independents together number 49. This means that just one Republican senator joining the Democrats and independents would give them 50 votes against only 49 Republicans until McCain's successor is sworn in. Now, even after that, a total of two Republican senators would have it in their power to create a 51-vote majority. Flags are to be flown at half-staff until McCain is laid to rest on Sunday. More than 30 people have been honored by lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda, and only two individuals have been chosen to lay in state in the Arizona State Capitol Museum Rotunda. Arizona State Senator Marilyn Jarrett in 2006 and Olympic gold medalist Jesse Owens in 1980. The S&P 500 index today gained 0.8% to close at 2,896. It's a record high, with materials and financials as the best-performing sectors. The NASDAQ Composite climbed 0.9% to an all-time high, breaking above 8,000 points for the first time. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Alphabet all rose. Tech's gains led the NASDAQ to close at 8,017. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 259 points to finish the session at 26,049 as Caterpillar outperformed. Monday also marked the first time since February 1st that the Dow closed above 26,000. The U.S. has reached an agreement with Mexico to revamp NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. The idea is to terminate the existing NAFTA accord, something that would require congressional approval. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said the administration plans to notify Congress on Friday that an updated deal is complete. That would start the 90-day clock in which the three nations would need to sign the new deal by the end of November. The U.S.-Mexico deal would require 75% of auto content to be made in U.S. and Mexico. That's up from 62.5%. The deal also would require that 40 to 45% of auto content be made by workers earning at least $16 per hour. The new deal will last 16 years and will be reviewed every 6 years. It will not cap imports of light vehicles from Mexico. The new agreement also puts greater emphasis on crafting rules to govern the digital economy and protect copyrights and intellectual property rights, areas in which the U.S. is a global leader. The new deal does not include Canada, at least not now, maybe later. Trump said he would talk to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau soon, though he threatened that it would be easier to put tariffs on Canadian cars instead of including Canada in the agreement with Mexico. The first thing to note is that there are three members in NAFTA: the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Canada has purposely stayed out of talks for weeks because it wanted the U.S. and Mexico to resolve some of their trade problems. One of the issues Canada will certainly want to discuss is how to resolve trade disputes between NAFTA countries. Changes to NAFTA require congressional approval, which may or may not happen. GM and Fiat Chrysler today up 4.3% each, while Ford increased 2.8%. Shares of Caterpillar up 2.8%, Boeing up 1.3% respectively. Their stocks considered trade bellwethers because of their large exposure to overseas markets. The Mexican peso up 0.7% against the dollar. The positive response from markets, likely because the deal is the first clear evidence the White House is willing to compromise on its hardline demands and avert ruinous trade wars. No mention of Mexico paying for a wall. The Canadians and no doubt the Europeans and Chinese are likely to comb over the details of the agreement. The U.S. is sure to use the deal with Mexico as a template for negotiations and talks with other countries to update trade rules that Trump has long complained are unfair. The Department of Agriculture announced today its farm aid package would include $4.7 billion in direct payments to farmers to help offset losses from retaliatory tariffs on American exports. The bulk of the payments, $3.6 billion, would be made to soybean farmers. That amounts to $1.65 per bushel multiplied by 50% of expected production. China has traditionally bought about 60% of U.S. soybean exports, but it's been largely out of the market since implementing tariffs on U.S. imports in retaliation for the Trump administration tariffs on Chinese goods. The aid package, announced at $12 billion in July, will also include payments for sorghum of 86 cents per bushel multiplied by 50% of production, 1 cent per bushel of corn, 14 cents per bushel of wheat, 6 cents per pound of cotton. Sign up for the program begins September 4th to coincide with the 2018 harvest, and it is expected to end in January. The spread between the U.S. 10-year and 2-year yields touched 19 basis points in trade today. It's gone negative before every recession dating back to the 1960s. Several Federal Reserve officials have cited the flattening yield curve as a reason to stop raising interest rates. In a study published today, researchers at the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank say a narrowing gap between short and long-term borrowing costs could be signaling heightened risk of a U.S. recession. Still, they noted the flattening yield curve provides no sign of an impending recession because long-term rates, though falling relative to short-term rates, remain above them. In other words, we've got a flattening yield curve, not an inverted yield curve. Shares of chipmaker AMD gained more than 5%, hitting a 12-year high, extending its rally for a third day. Stock closed at $25.26 after reaching a session high of $27.30. Stock up about 30% in August, nearly 150% in 2018. Amazon Web Services has emerged as a dominant force in cloud computing by hosting other companies' technology infrastructure in its data centers. But AWS is also rolling out services for companies that do it the old way. Amazon and VMware introduced a version of Amazon's cloud-based database management software that's meant for companies that still use on-premises data centers. The announcement, the latest example of Amazon's shift in strategy to support corporate computing outside its own facilities, even as more businesses move to the cloud where AWS is the market leader. The move strengthens AWS's hybrid cloud offerings against Microsoft, Google, and IBM. Elon Musk now plans to keep Tesla public. Musk sent an email to Tesla employees late Friday saying that he'd come to the conclusion that, for the time being, Tesla should remain a public company. Uber receiving a new $500 million investment from Toyota. With that investment, Uber plans to provide its self-driving technology to a fleet of Toyota minivans. The fleet will also be equipped with Toyota's safety software called Guardian, and will pick up passengers on Uber's ride-hailing network. By partnering with Toyota, Uber can keep testing driverless technology in cars without the expense and hassles of maintaining a full fleet. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 259 to close at 26,049. S&P 500 up 22 at 2,896, a record. NASDAQ Composite up 71 at 8,017, also a record. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog, eatthebankers.com.